Now we're going to invite our littles to go with the whipworms. And our elementary age. Also, forgot to ask you all to pass your clipboards. There are clipboards at the end. So, at the barn, we have a credo. Our credo is love wins. And we are currently in the middle of a message series where we are looking at the core values of the barn. What binds us together as community through the lens of love wins. And we're doing this core value series through the lens of stewardship. Stewardship being the care and the concern for the well-being of our whole community. How we live in our relationships, how we share our time together, how we share our resources, our passions, our creativity, and how this is lived out for the care of our community and for our wider community and our global community. Our first week, we looked at balance, and we asked questions about how we live a balanced love life, our love relationship with God, our love relationships with neighbors, and our love relationships with ourselves. And we took time to pay attention to how we were using our time and how we were living in balance. In the second week, we looked at the core value of hope. And we began with despair, what it means to live with despair, and how we can preach through that despair and live through that despair to be a word of hope in our world. And our youth that helped us in that message to talk about homelessness in the Lehigh Valley, and they lived out the value of hope for us all to see. The third week, we talked about creativity and how we build on our capacity to create, how we can think creatively, live creatively. And we also looked at our budget and thought creatively about how we can meet our budget needs so that we can live out our message that love wins. The fourth week, we looked at the core value of safe place, what it means to create a safe space through vulnerability, how we can trust and take risks, and how we develop deep and meaningful relationships when we take these risks for the sake of others, for the sake of ourselves, and for God's sake in the world. And this week, we're going to look at the core value of growth. Because growth is risky business. So how do you define growth? What is growth?
Enrichment.
Learning from our past mistakes.
Maturation.
Stretch.
Other ideas about growth. How would you define growth?
Sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Growth. New knowledge, new perspective. I'm sorry?
Growing in self.
Getting to know what you don't know, right?
Growth is a process. If you go to Google or Webster's Dictionary and you ask to define growth, it's a process. It's a process of maturation. It can be physical growth, like we talked about with the kids growing physically. It can be intellectual growth, new knowledge, new perspectives. Or there's also emotional and spiritual growth, thinking about maturation, understanding ourselves better, understanding our relationships with others, and living in that relationship with God. What are some of the myths about growth? There are three really core myths about growth that I want to talk about this morning as well.
Just because you're chronologically older means that you've grown.
Yes. If you're chronologically older, that you've grown. Other myths?
otherwise you're dead. I think that is a myth, right? I think that growth is good. I think to be growing is good, but I don't think it's an either or. This is not an either or scenario. I think sometimes in life we move through times where things can remain stable so that we can build new understandings and enter into a new period of growth. Sometimes we do enter into periods of decline, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it leads to death. The second growth that I have is that all growth is good, because not all growth is good. Some growth can be difficult, some growth can be painful, some growth can also be out of control, right? So thinking about cancerous growth is out of control growth, and it is harmful. So not all growth is good. And the third myth is that bigger means better, right? To go back to what Jen said, older doesn't necessarily mean wiser, right? There is a sense of balance that is needed within growth. And like churches, we talk about this in Vision Team, how large a community gets doesn't mean that a church community is better if it's bigger. Because sometimes you can miss the intimacy and the quality of relationships, which at the core value of growth is at the heart of living in the barn, that we're developing these meaningful relationships with one another. So how do you define bigger and how do you define growth matters. So this morning we're going to dig into this a little bit deeper, how we understand growth, what its purpose is as a core value of our spiritual community, and how we live into this together. So I'd like to share a quote with you this morning by Parker Palmer, who is a spiritual guide for me, and whose talk about the spiritual journey of growth has made a difference in my life. And he says, "The journey toward growth, arising from love, is the reunification and reconstruction of broken selves and broken worlds." The reunification of broken selves and broken worlds. Growth seeks a deeper awareness of self, self in relationship with others, and self in relationship with God. Most importantly, the value of growth sets us on a path, on a journey. So this morning, we are going to watch a portion of a video called Name. It's part of the Numa series of videos by Rob Bell and his team. And this is going to use images, music, art, and creativity to get to the heart of what it means to follow Jesus. And in this video this morning, he's going to talk about growth.
Recently, and somewhere in the course of our time together, we were discussing some issue in my life, and I asked him, "Is it normal for people to..." And he immediately interrupts me, and he says, "Is it normal for who?" I said, "Well, you know, is it normal for people to..." And he interrupts me again, and he says, "Wait, we're not here to talk about other people, are we? We're here to talk about you and who you are and what the next right thing is for you to do. So the better question is it normal for you?" Now, there's a story in the Bible about a man named Jacob who wrestles an angel. Now, the scripture is not exactly clear who who he's struggling with, whether it's actually an angel or whether it's a man or some sort of divine messenger, but they struggle hour after hour by the side of a river. And at daybreak, the man says to Jacob, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man says, "Well, what is your name?" Now, this question has been a history term. When we meet Jacob much earlier in the story, he's trying to deceive his father into thinking that he's actually his older brother Esau. Because in that culture at that time, the father would give the older son a blessing. And now their father is blind, and so he's disguised himself as the older brother. And their father Isaac, he senses something is not right. And so he asks, "Who are you?" And Jacob says, "I'm Esau." When we first meet Jacob in the story, he's trying to be someone else. Now his older brother Esau finds out what he's done, and he's furious, and he threatens to kill him. And so Jacob leaves, and he's on the run. Now in the ancient Near East, your name was more than just words. Your name was identity. Your name was reflective of your character, your substance, and the very fiber that made you, you. Your name told who you are. So when this man asks Jacob, "What is your name?" the real question he's asking him is, "Who are you?" And how much of our pain comes from not knowing how to answer that question. Soon after his resurrection, Jesus is having a meal with his disciples, and he's talking to one of them, Peter, about Peter's responsibility to lead Jesus' followers after he's gone. And Jesus says to Peter, he says, "Peter, feed my sheep," which is a way of saying, "Take care of my church." Jesus gives Peter this calling, this task, a vocation, something to do with his life. And then Jesus says to him, "Peter, follow me." And what's Peter's response to the sacred, holy moment between the two of them? Peter looks at one of the other disciples and says, well, what about him? And Jesus replies, "What is that to you? You follow me."
Think about your struggles. Has God been with you in the struggles? Who were your companions as you made your way through the challenges you have faced? Are you comfortable in your own skin? Who are you as God has created you to be? I think journey is a process of growth that involves sort of three stages. And I don't think that these three stages are three linear stages. I think that all growth is sort of, has a spiral nature to it, where you may find yourself moving through a path, and then you kind of come around and circle through. You might find yourself back at the beginning again. But I think there are three stages that you move between in your own journey, in your process of growth, of discovering your name, of understanding who you are as God is calling you to be, and who God is revealing as you are in your authentic self. I think that first step is acceptance. Accepting who you are, accepting your own history, accepting your path, accepting your own history, the story of who you are. And it's also committing yourself, setting yourself on a journey. So I think about the journey of the 12 steps, where the first step is that recognition of utter dependence and the willingness to claim who you are in your authentic self. The second step is awareness, where it's this process of gaining intellectual, emotional, spiritual intelligence. It involves some study. Who am I? It's heart work and head work, and then the combination of the two, integrating the heart and the head in your own life, and then holding yourself accountable to the process. This is oftentimes, this is the most difficult part of the journey, because it is terribly painful. And it's becoming comfortable in the struggle. Building understanding that sometimes life is painful, and not running away from that out of fear, but the willingness to move through the pain and to sit with it sometimes, and to have good friends who can just sit with you as you sit with it. As I think about Job, his friends weren't very helpful. It's always helpful to have someone who you can sit with or sit by as they sit in their own pain. That is a good friend. And then the third stage of this process is authenticity. It's discovering your life purpose and your willingness to live into that purpose. And it also involves, this stage involves a series of risks. Risks of allowing yourself to be vulnerable, of trying new things, of thinking creatively, of thinking outside of the box, of living outside of norms or norms that you might accept for yourself, or norms that may have come from your own family of origin that may not be normal for you. And it's also about living comfortably in your own skin. It's the ability to be honest with yourself, a willingness to accept constructive criticism from others, and a willingness to embrace my own growing out edges as a learning, as a way to move forward in the process. And again, sometimes forward also can mean moving back. Maturity, it's a process of becoming mature. And this is what the Bible has to say about that. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 15, or 15 to 16. No prolonged infancies among us, please. Will not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Growth is the process of embracing the journey of acceptance, awareness, and authenticity. But growth is not just an individual journey. We live in families, we have relationships, and we have this community as well. So thinking about growth, it's a journey of who God wants me to be as an individual, but also who is God calling me to be as I am seeking to live faithfully in a community with others. So here's the harder question, because now there is all of these different selves in this room, trying to seek to authentically live into who God is calling us to be. How do we figure out who we are as a community, right? We have our credo, love wins, and we have our core values. So what does it mean to you to figure out, to discern together, who are we? How do you understand who we are as we are seeking to live together as a community? This is a tough question.
Grace, growth, invites introspection. And introspection can be painful, but also informative, because it can also be generative and transformational at the same time. So it makes you think.
About how we live together in community. Did you know that there's a life cycle to churches? Churches often go through a process of growth as they seek to live together, as they embrace all the colors, as they embrace all the diversity, as we embrace each other's prickles, as we seek to discover our authentic selves. Oftentimes, in the cycle of a life of a community or a congregation or a church, there is this process where when things are very new and a community is birthed, it's really focused on identity, the core values are defined,
what it means to live together in community is discovered, and there is this tremendous energy, this positive energy. It's exciting to be a part of something new. It's like when you're holding a newborn baby in your arms the first time, like it's just precious. But there's also tremendous risk that is involved. If you want to learn about risk, spend an afternoon with Sue. Okay, she took tremendous risk as they started and brought this community to birth. But there's also tremendous passion and incredible energy around the formation of a new community. The key in there also is that you have this resiliency to failure. You do not have this fear of failure, but you almost take it on and say, I'm going to face you and I'm going to move through that struggle because I believe in what God is calling me to do. I believe in what God is calling me to be. And there is just passion around that. And then as a community begins to grow and it moves into a time of transition, or what they call in this chart, adolescence, there is this stability that sets in. The growth continues to move, and it becomes sort of like a life force. It's like the beating of a drum, and everyone kind of is moving in this rhythm, and we begin to move in this rhythm together, and this community really begins to set into this kind of stable motion of what it means to be living together. Now, what's scary is you notice once you hit that place of stability, there are two places to go. You can either go back to the beginning, and you can live in a place of tremendous risk, of vulnerability, of experimentation, of creativity, and a renewed sense of energy. Or you can take that stability and institutionalize it and hold it out of fear. And where does that lead? To a different kind of decline. When we are willing to embrace our fears and our struggles, and we are aware of the risk that we take together, renewed life can come. It's interesting because I had a consultant once say that growth isn't like this, but good growth is like this, where you reach stability and then you experiment and reach stability and experiment and reach stability. It's more like an angled sort of growth. I think that's what this Holy Spirit is calling us to do. This is my opinion. When I read them, especially the Book of Acts, I love the Book of Acts because the Holy Spirit is never stable. It's always on the move. It's always experimenting. It's always calling us to something new. It's always calling us to look at our own struggles, our own ways that we can kind of box things in, and it breaks those boxes open. I think about Peter, who all of a sudden is eating with people who he never imagined himself sitting in table with, and Gentiles are being welcomed into community, and people who are from different places, and the gospel is spreading all over the world because of the amazing power and energy and creativity of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can be scary because it leads us into places where we're not always comfortable going. But when we go there and we listen to God, amazing growth can happen. So in thinking about stewardship and thinking about growth and thinking about the Holy Spirit, and remembering those myths, that all growth is good, and that bigger is better, I always think it is so important for us as a community to think about how we are living together, growing together, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually and physically. But especially thinking about stewardship, thinking about our budget, thinking about the tremendous potential in this community to reach out to our neighbors, it's amazing where the Holy Spirit can lead us if we're willing to take risks. So for example, on a vision retreat recently, I learned that our growth has exceeded, but our giving hasn't exactly matched our growth. Not because it hasn't been matched, but because we have lost grand about how we can bridge that gap. And we're hoping that we can continue to have these conversations. Because the goal of growth, I think, financial growth, is sustainability, because again, stewardship is about well-being. And this is a hard conversation to have, because really, raise your hand if you like to talk about finances. Not me. Rich! You're the man. It's challenging. It's challenging to think about our giving. Because we don't give in this community out of a sense of guilt. We give out of gratitude. We give out of gratitude for having a safe place. For being able to be creative. To be authentically who we are. And we give out of gratitude because we have a community like this. I saw that tremendous potential a few weeks ago. I had tears in my eyes as I witnessed our youth participate in the Sleep Out for Homelessness in one day. In one day, the barn came together to support our youth in the Lehigh Valley and gave $1,200. That is beautiful and amazing. And all of those gifts were given out of gratitude for the care of the well-being of our whole community. So thinking about growth, thinking about sustainability, thinking about our authentic selves, thinking about how we share that growth that we experience here with our wider community, I'm not going to resolve that in the next 5 minutes, because we all have to go to the broad walk. But we can continue on this journey together, a journey toward growth, a journey toward creating this space, safe space, a journey toward embracing the spirit, a willingness to take risks, a willingness to be vulnerable with each other. Because in the end, this community is about one thing, and that's living out the message that love